Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. In tonight's encore presentation from 2012, Selena discussed ways to create personal and household home blessing ceremonies and ways to explore working with spirits of place, home guardians, and home altars.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore home blessing rituals. Tonight is a night of the full moon, and full moon times are excellent occasions to do home blessing work. For at the full moon, you have the juxtaposition of the waning moon, which is good for releasing and cleansing, the waxing moon for drawing things into being, and the full moon, a time of manifestation. Let's begin tonight with a home blessing prayer at full moon time. Power of the bright moon, bless our workings tonight. Bless this place. Bless this home. Bless me and all those joining together to do home blessing work. Illumine us, guide us, energize us, aid us. So mote it be. One of the most basic full moon rituals for home blessing is to stand outdoors by your home, or if standing outdoors is not an easy thing to do and you're in an apartment that's up many stories, to get to a window with a view of the full moon. And to spend a few moments honoring the moon as you prepare for a home blessing. Bathing yourself in the moonlight and letting the magical glow flow through you and your intention and the work that you will be doing. There's different types of home blessing rituals, and I'd like to share with you some of the ones that I have used over time and a bit about the occasions and the methods for doing these rituals. The basic cleansing ritual. This can be done in a particular part of the home where there's been some kind of illness or challenge. It could range from if there had been kind of a overly heated discussion, maybe arguments breaking out, some stress, or someone has been sick in a particular room. you can really localize the blessing work with cleansing by focusing on the particular part of the home which needs some clearing. There are several different ways to do that. One way is to take an elemental symbol and ritual tool and to work primarily with that tool. So an element of earth would be scattering some salt in the area to ground out and cleanse. A tool of air would be to burn an incense stick or a thurible or incense burner with incense smoke, either fumed on a self-igniting charcoal block or burn directly, such as some types of dried sage leaves. It could take the form of a symbol of fire, a lit candle flame, ideally in a candle holder that can catch any wax drippings or in a tall votive glass, or a wand can be used as a symbol of fire in some traditions, or it could be a cleansing tool of water, blessed water, or sometimes water with a bit of salt in it, aspersed with the fingers or with an asperging tool, could be a sprig of mint, for example. Using a crystal to clear, such as a dark quartz or smoky quartz crystal. Those are some examples of elemental tools that can be used for clearing and cleansing and dispelling negativity from a space. Or what I like to do is to actually use an instrument of sound. One of my favorite instruments is that of the sistrum. A sistrum consists of, I often call it a tambourine on a stick. So it has some things that make a rhythm, and it may be put in a forked wand and little disc with holes punched in the middle on wire that's strung between the forked wand. That's the type of system I'm going to be playing in a few moments. Or a more elaborate one in which the symbols are put on several rows within an arch, kind of in the Egyptian fashion. But if in using a sistrum, you shake the sistrum not only to make the sound, the rhythm, but energetically to disrupt the energy patterns of that particular area and to clear away. So it's basically doing a dispelling. It's a breaking away of the existing patterns and cleansing. It's like cleansing with sound. Another tool that I've used for sound is that of the singing bowl. And I have singing bowls in different shapes and sizes and out of different materials. The one that I use the most is a small singing bowl with an amalgam of brass and some other metals that are set on a cushion. And I have a wooden striker and one that I can move around the rim of the singing bowl to produce a sound. This sound not only has the effect of clearing away negativity, but of consecrating. I have found playing a singing bowl, a bell, a drum, or a sistrum as being an effective way to clear an area and start changing that atmosphere for the better. Some examples of working with a blessing tool would be to move around the area to be blessed in a spiral pattern. Now, if the focus is to clear away negativity, you may want to go counterclockwise in the Northern Hemisphere. That's a symbolic way to go to dispel what is there, to cleanse away what is not needed. And after having done that approach, to pause, to shift attention and intention to then drawing into the space harmony, peace, joy, well-being. And then proceeding with the same or perhaps a different blessing tool and moving clockwise around that space. If you have just one room to bless, you would start in the center of that room and then work outwards as you are gathering in energy and walking clockwise around. And if it's a whole series of rooms or the whole home, you could be moving from room to room, doing your counterclockwise and then clockwise motions in each room. That's one particular method. When I'm having to do an entire house or a very large apartment with multiple rooms, I typically do a ritual that has a cleansing component and a consecration and uplifting component in the same gesture. And I will take incense around, for example, and focus not only on clearing a space, but as I do so, I also envision, as the space becomes clear, the room filling with a light, a radiance that is spiritual force, spiritual well-being flowing into the particular area. If one is blessing a home for the very first time, I think it can be quite helpful to go through the home and do one whole circuit of cleansing away all that was there before that's not needed. And a good way to do that is to get a lot of incense smoke and to really waft it around each room. And once the whole inside of the place has been cleansed, to then move outside and to move around the whole building and around the whole property. Of course, each home site is different, and the size of the grounds can vary. So you have to adapt that technique to fit what really works for your own home environment. After doing a thorough cleansing, then spend some time in quiet meditation back inside the home in what you'd consider the heart of the home or a place where you may have a home altar that's been set up or that's going to be set up, and to have a time where in this cleansed space you connect with the essence of the place where the home is situated, what you might call the spirit of place. To honor that spirit, to connect with it, to do some form of offering, and that can take the form of words or singing or some kind of token gift, such as pouring libation, water or juice or some other kind of beverage into a libation bowl that would then be put out near the front door or the grounds, giving some kind of offering and acknowledgement to the spirit of place where the home is situated. Connecting with the sacred as you know it, them, working with that as you go about energizing your home with the qualities that you would like to see present, which tends to be harmony and comfort, safety, protection, well-being for those who make it their home, and then to move through the entire place again. If you went counterclockwise around each room to do the cleansing, this way you'd be working clockwise around each room to energize the place. And then going outdoors, moving clockwise around and blessing the whole place. And then coming to a place, often it's the main threshold, and often it's the inside of the main threshold where you do some kind of blessing on that threshold. That's a more in-depth home blessing, especially good for when one is moving into a home for the first time. Another aspect of home blessing is that of the home guardian. A home guardian is looking at the essence of the home itself, the sum total of the spiritual essence of the home. And it can be conceptualized as a spiritual force. And often, as part of working with it, a particular symbol would be a portal, a touchstone, a key for connecting with the guardian. There's different types of home blessing guardian symbols, and I think one of the most common ones is the pinnacle, the five-pointed star in a circle. It may be painted on a flat piece of wood, circular, or it might be a design in a that the circle is put within a square shape of wood. It may be carved. It may be woven or fashioned out of willow or Pennsylvania Dutch hex sign could serve as a guardian key. A piece of leaded glass or quartz crystal suspended from a cord or a chain could also serve as a guardian key. What you endeavor to do is to have your symbol in a place where you can see it, and it can, in essence, be watching over your place, and you energize it with the intention that that is there as a reminder of blessing the place. And for that reason, I typically will use that in whatever home blessing ceremony I'm doing, especially in a new place. I will have that present during the ceremony, and at the culmination of that ceremony, then set it in place. From time to time, a guardian key or guardian symbol does need to be reactivated and taken from its perch or its place. Often it's right above the front doorway, and that could be moved through incense smoke or set in sunlight and then moonlight to reconsecrate it if some change is going on with the home. Or if one is moving from the home, one will need to take the guardian symbol down and deactivate it as a guardian for that particular place and repurpose it in going to a new place. In addition to cleansing and energizing a home and working with a home guardian, it can be very helpful to have a central focal point for household spiritual activities. If you live alone, your personal altar and your household altar could be one and of the same. If you are living with other people, then you may wish to have a household altar that everyone works with that is linked in with the guardian of the home space and the spirit of place, which is the geographic locale upon which the home is situated. At that altar space, you can have a symbol that you work with in home blessing work. On my household altar, I have both my sistrum, which I use for healing and cleansing in a number of different ways, as well as energizing, and I have my singing bowl. If there is a need to do any type of work with those tools, they're available. They are at a place that I frequently work at in terms of doing rituals. And by them being present there, they are a reminder of those spiritual dimension parts of life. What are some other things to have on a household altar? If you are in an apartment, you may wish to take a bit of soil from the ground floor and put it in a small jar or put it in a small dish to connect you with the soil and the land that's outside. That would be your link with spirit of place. You may want to have a symbol for each of the members of the household on your household altar, or a tool from each of those individuals, or a photograph that depicts you together in a harmonious way. Or you may have a symbol that represents your work together with others, and a symbol that's used in all sorts of ceremonies that you might have together. Keeping a household altar active in a home is its own type of tool for home blessing. It not only is a place to display and store various ceremonial implements, but by having it as an active part of the home environment, it comes to represent spiritual dimensions as manifested in the home. One of the things that I do with the home altar in my own home is to change its decoration with the changing of the seasons. So with each of the beginnings and the midpoints of the seasons, I will add and change different items to the altar. Typically, I put a wreath that's connected with the holiday around a divine figure. In the case of my household altar, we work with Bridget, Brige, Bride, and so often I'll be putting some type of ornamental symbols around the image. As Yule comes upon us, sometimes I'll put golden oak leaves or an evergreen, small evergreen wreath there. Another thing to keep in mind for home blessing has to do with having some ceremonies that can be done by various members of the household together. The act of cleansing, the act of energizing can be turned into a group ceremony if those who dwell with you in the household are of a similar spiritual orientation or are open to assisting you with your own spiritual tradition in doing the home blessing. And there are ways of getting people of all ages involved. And one way of doing so is to have each present carry one or more elemental tools in doing a home blessing. If you have five people in a household, then that would make it easy with the five elements of nature. Someone would take a dish of salt or cornmeal or a pinnacle platter representing earth. Someone would take incense for air. Someone would take a wand or candle for fire. Someone would take a chalice or a bowl of water for water. And someone would take a rhythm instrument or a crystal or the guardian key for spirit. It can be a wonderful way of celebrating the act of blessing the home by having everyone involved join together. But sometimes the tools can be combined, or you might just focus with one tool. Incense is something out of the different types of blessing tools that is commonly used, and everyone could be moving around in a room, each with an incense stick, or each person could take some form of rattle or rhythm instrument to play them in harmony to move the energy around the space. There are different types of chants that one can do as one does home blessing work. A real simple chant is, cleanse, protect, and bless my home. Cleanse, protect, and bless my home. Cleanse, protect, and bless my home. Another chant, and this is for those who come from the viewpoint that one's home as a whole is sacred. And it's a consecration chant. Bless this place as sacred space. Bless this place as sacred space. Bless this place as sacred space. So the chant would be repeated as one moves around the entire area. Some additional things to consider as part of home blessing ritual work include selecting a name for your home. This can be something that comes to you through meditation. It can come through group discussion with other household members. It can come through some other type of creative process. And why name your home? When you name your home, you are working with it holistically. And when there is a need to do some work with your home, it gives you a name to focus on. You can do a ritual in which you honor your dwelling place and then do a naming. You can write the name that you've selected on a piece of paper and place that in a vessel on your home altar, or you could have it made into a sign and displayed. You can sing the name. You can write it on a home blessing charm, on your guardian key. There's many different ways of incorporating that work. When you have selected the name and have done the naming, then at home blessing times and occasions, later you can use that name in ceremony because it links you into not only the place but other ceremonies that you have done. So an additional thing to be looking at with home blessing rituals: what is the focus of the ritual? What is the particular need that you have for the home blessing? There's different reasons to do home blessing. And if there's been a death in the home, a loved one has passed away at home. It could be a human, beloved human who's been an inhabitant of a home, or it might be a creature. There are specific home blessing work that can be done around clearing the space following a death. One way is to open the windows and to let the air blow through the home. Another is to cover reflective surfaces to allow the spirit to have safe passage and not to be caught energetically in reflective surfaces. This is an old folk custom from Europe. Another thing would be to sound a bell as one pays respects to the dead. And here again, using the sound to clear space. There are some other examples of a home blessing, right, that you may want to craft. Are you having repair work done on your home? Once that repair work is done, do a blessing of that part of the home to celebrate it anew and to set up protection so that the repair will continue to take hold. Something that is a home blessing ritual that many people don't actually consider it a ritual or even home blessing is winterization of a home as winter comes on. In addition to doing the physical work, one can do that physical work with the spiritual intention of keeping the home safe from the harsh winds, the snows, and the storms of the winter time. But protection of the home from extreme elements can be done year-round, and certainly when a storm is approaching and there is sufficient time to do so, it is good to connect with the spirit of place, the spirit of your home, the divine as you know it, and to get a sense of what to emphasize in terms of setting up a protective force field around the home. So whether a wildfire might be threatening or severe wind or severe rain, flooding, earthquake, if you are in a place where you're at risk of having a fierce, destructive elemental encounter, you can work with that element in a protective form to help ward off the element in a destructive form. If you need to evacuate your home due to a severe storm or other situation, then it's important to not only physically secure the home, but you can do a warding to help add to the physical security that you are doing with the home. When one is departing from the home on travels and you aren't going to be occupying the home for several days or even several weeks, you might have somebody watching over your place, actually doing some, you know, checking on the home. That is one good safeguard to have, but it's good to do a home blessing protection while you are gone, and that can take the form of a protective ring of light around the whole building and around the entire property. When you have returned to home, then you want to give thanks to those sacred forces you have worked with for that blessing work. Some other occasions for home blessing has to do with when a new resident is coming to be in the home. And that can be done not only as a ceremony to energize the home and its new relationship configuration, but it can be part of welcoming that new one in. So it might be a baby that's been born into a family in a home, or it might be a friend that will be coming and staying with someone in the home, or it could be an elderly parent or friend that is now going to be part of the extended household. One of the things that I hope that you take not only from tonight's talk on home blessing rituals, but can take from this whole series is that it's important to consider options as you do home blessing work and to have different approaches available. So that if you work with one particular approach and that isn't completely satisfying the needs at hand, you have some additional things that you can do as well. I'd like to close this talk portion of our evening by guiding a short meditation for home blessing that can be done as a ritual, whether you are physically present in your home or you may be away somewhere and wanting to do some extra blessing work for your home. So in the next few moments of quiet, take some deep, slow breaths and center yourself. Connect with the sacred as you work with the sacred in your own path. And now call up an image of your home viewed from the outside. And shift now to a sense of your home as you would experience it from the inside. And now, if there's a name to your home that you work with, focus on that for a few moments. If you haven't named your home, you can use your physical address of the home. And silently, in the next few moments of quiet, focus on the name, on the address of the home, and let that connect you to home essence in its locale. Spirit of home, I honor you. I call to you. Work with me in blessing and protecting this place. I circle this home with light to protect it day and night, to guard my home, to bless my home. I circle my home with light. Imagine a circle of light starting to spiral around the inside of your home, experiencing yourself in its center, and it's spiraling around, and then it's moving. And to each of the rooms, it's filling the whole inside the home with radiant light. See that light as a white starlight. Let it turn to a silver light, the energy of the moon. And now let it turn into a golden light, that of the sun. Experience the interior of your home, circled and spiraled and filled with light. And now imagine a radiant white light circling around the outside of the home, turning into a silver, and then into a golden light. Experience your entire home now in a force field that is in a sacred sphere. Of well-being, of safety, of comfort. Set that thought form in place. If you have a particular symbol that you have already set up somewhere in your home physically for blessing, hold that image in your mind as you envision this sacred sphere of glowing light. And let it connect with that. So mote it be. So creating in one's mind a force field around the home is essentially what home blessing work is about. You are doing spiritual activity to link in with the place, to link in with the essence of the home, the physical structure and those that dwell in the home, in that place. And you are setting up the force field. You're reinforcing the force field. You are filling that with intention, qualities that you wish to have present. And then as you complete your work with this basic home blessing, right, let us each give thanks for our homes, for the place where our homes are, for those that share the home with us, visitors, loved ones, plants, creatures, humans, creative works, arts. Let us give thanks for our home, and let us carry with us some new ideas of ways that we can work on home blessing, not only at this full moon time and this coming Yule, but throughout the year. So in the last part of our evening, I welcome David and Jeanette and invite them to share their own perceptions and share any comments, questions that may have come up in live chat tonight. Happy full moon. And I'm wondering if we've gotten any comments in the chat.
Sorry about that. I had to unmute the phone. I thought it was unmuted.
Okay.
Just some comments about your use, the use of mirrors.
Yeah.
And the concept of naming your home. And it's funny because I always associated with, you know, people who have, like, estates have names of their home. You'll see it on the outside as you drive by, you know, some fancy estate. You see it all the time around here in our area. But I had not really considered that, you know, to actually create a name for, you know, for your home, you know, for one's home. It's an interesting concept. And I guess how would one go about, you sort of touched on it a little bit, how would one go about, you know, naming the home? Is it to do with spirit of place or who lives in the home or the geographic part of the country?
Yeah, it can actually be a combination of those or one of those things. You know, I started naming homes back early on as I moved out into the country space, and I found that by naming a home, and actually in the early days of Circle Sanctuary, my very first home we called Circle Farm Number One. First it was called Circle Farm, then when we moved to a second one, these were rented properties, we then called the first one Number One and the second one Number Two, and then when we moved to the third one, well, it became Number Three. Then we got Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and we actually did a change of our organization's name. In our early days, we were known as the Church of Circle Wicca. But once we became landed, we took the name Circle Sanctuary, and part of how that evolved was that the organization was then connected with the land. And not only was a sanctuary a convergence of people involved in nature religion from many paths that are coming together and having sanctuary together, but we physically had a space that was dedicated for nature preservation. So the organization became Circle Sanctuary, which has nature sanctuary kind of embedded in its name, and the name of the land became Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. And that's a little bit about my own history with all of this. Certainly, as I've done genealogical research, I had ancestors that were landed and some that were not. And I came across, especially during the colonial era in the United, before it became the United States of America, in Old Virginia and Maryland, where some of my ancestors dwelled, it seemed that each ancestor, especially if they had multiple properties, would call their properties by different names. So I actually got the idea of naming properties as I started learning about my own ancestral ways. But I really don't think it needs to be a function of social class, or even if you're landed. And as I've been teaching people about home blessing, I have encouraged them to find a name. And it can be a simple thing such as our place, you know, our home sweet home, or you could put your surname, if everybody shares a surname, you know, the surname place, and or it can have something to do with the area in which you are at. And once a place has been named, you generally stick with that name, but if changes happen, the name, the place might go through a name change as well.
Yeah, I was mentioning that with one of the other people on there, and I thought I didn't know what I would call our house, and maybe we would call our home the Cat House, or maybe Ewing Home for Wayward Kitties or something. You know,
Well, absolutely. It's a wonderful place, and yeah, certainly you could weave all of that in, because certainly cats are a very much important part of your home. And having been there and enjoyed my visit there, certainly having a name for a place can add another dimension of connectedness to one's home.
Right. One of the other things, I don't know if you had touched on it earlier in the discussion or not, when you talk about blessings and, you know, all the various things that you did, one thing I don't know if I caught was, how often does one do this? Do you just sort of intuit whether or not you needed to do it more often or less often, or is there some regularity as to when you do this, when you've done home blessings in your own house?
That's a really good question. I tend to do a blessing whenever the season changes. So I do some kind of blessing work, which is basically aligning the home space with the change in the seasons. And at full moon time, I generally do some kind of blessing work then, but it isn't the level of blessing that I did when this house was being built. There I had a variety of different ceremonies that I did, including as the foundation was poured, and I did warn the construction workers that I was going to be doing something they may not have experienced before. I took quartz crystals and actually had them put in the foundation as the foundation was poured. They thought it was actually kind of neat, you know. I had a lot going on. I wasn't getting real flamboyant with my ritualizing at that point. And so there are certainly layers and levels of home blessing. I think it's good to do some thorough home blessing at least once a year. Some people do some reinforcing blessings every moon cycle, and for some people it's dark moon, some is full moon, and some people who are more solar-oriented may do that at the solstices and equinoxes, and some, as in my case, will have some kind of a ritual work that one is doing in connection with each of the Sabbaths. In old Scotland, it was a custom to get your home in order before the end of the calendar year. And as we go into our Yuletide series, which will be the next 5 weeks, I actually, in the fifth of that series, which will be January 1st of 2013, I'll talk a bit more about Hogmanay or Hogmanay and its traditions. But the idea was, you got your house in order, you cleaned it, and you put things together before the calendar year ended. And so there would be some major house blessing work going on at that time. I've been actually in the process, as I've been doing this series, of doing some major reconfiguration of storage within my own home. So there's been a lot of upheaval as I've been moving things around, and I'm now starting to conclude that process and to begin the yuling of my house. We've got the tree up and some lights on and a wreath on the door, and yet there'll be some additional things that I do as part of the way of bringing the Yule cheer into the home. And I'll be talking about some of that in coming weeks, some things that people can do as part of the Yuletide season. I really see Yule as a real opportunity to extend the celebration over a period of days and weeks rather than just having it on a particular day. So that's why I have a whole series of Yuletide celebrations, and next week we'll be kicking that whole series off and taking a look at some things that we can do to bring Yule into the home.
All right. Cool.
Well, I see from the clock we are needing to go forth. I want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight and those who've listened later. Thanks for being part of the Home Blessing series. I welcome your feedback. You can email me, Selena, at circlesanctuary.org, or you can connect with me on Facebook, Selena Fox Updates, and post some comments and questions there. I also want to thank David and Jeanette once again for your help with this show, and Gabe, who takes podcasts and put them up for audio listening later, and to Bob, who helps with some other aspects of web presence, to Ed and Tracy, and to everybody with the Pagans Tonight Radio Network.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.